Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
It just sucks because, you know, I looked on my phone. I found out pretty early. I could tell Bobby was a little weird about it, but, I mean, it sucks. You know, I learned it early in the NBA, though. Some of my best friends got traded early, but, you know, especially, like, right before the game, you're getting ready, you know. Bobby's pretty much, like, the main, you know, glue of the team, the big-time voice. But it sucks, man. He's one of my best friends on the team. Jabari, you know, me and Jabari talk all the time. It sucks he didn't get the you know, the way he wanted to come here, a Chicago kid. You know, I don't think he got, you know, the fair end of the stick on that one. But, you know, it's the NBA, man. You know, those two are great players, and they're going to go out there, and, you know, I think they're going to be very successful. I know Bobby and him both are going to come back. They probably play me, like, y'all know how I felt when I played against Minnesota, so they don't feel the same way playing against us.
Middays on the Score.
I think Zach LaVine's a little bit disappointed.
Seems that way.
He hasn't pulled many punches and asked about how he feels about everything.
I appreciate the hell out of that, too.
Yeah, Bulls make a trade. It is deadline day, so let's get some NBA thoughts from our guy across the ocean. He is Mark Deeks, shamsports.com, at Mark Deeks NBA. What's going on, Mark? How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I saw a lot of people on the NBA Twitter sphere complaining in the last couple of days about moves going down late that take place later at night on your time zone. Yeah, welcome to my world. That's what they're all like over here.
So did the Bulls make themselves any better?
Yep. So I've just been listening there to Casey Johnson saying that it was meh, and Zach LaVine saying it sucks, 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 sucks. Let me try and interject some counterpoints. I don't think it does suck. I think if you look at it on the most basic level, both Portis and Parker average more points and rebounds than Otto Porter. And that, on the face of it, sounds like a bad deal. Well, we know that's not true. We know about the flaws in Jabari's production. We know that he's been essentially removed from the rotation, give or take, because of those flaws, because of the fact that he plays no energy, won't defend, and doesn't like to pass. The boy has talent, but he never put it together in Milwaukee, and he didn't put it together in Chicago. He was going regardless. It was just a question of cut or trade. Portis, it would appear that although he plays with some fire and has some talent, there was no commitment to bringing him back. That had already been resigned to losing him in free agency. And if we were sitting here in a few months' time wondering why they gave him 3 years and $30 million, I think we'd be having a similar sort of conversation. They cashed in on assets that were very much depreciating, and they're able to get something for it. Now, the argument goes, of course, that Porter is not an asset at that price point. His contract is standout enormous. He's getting paid twice what Robert Covington is to do a similar role, not quite as well. I do appreciate that. But what are the alternatives? Look at the time frame, first of all. Look at Porter's age. It dovetails nicely with the core players that Chicago have identified and will continue to add to in the upcoming summer. He's getting paid a lot of money, but what were the alternatives for the money? Markkanen is still cheap for a couple more years. The incoming pick's going to be cheap for 4 years. The only big contract on the books of any length is that of LaVine. And while it's a gamble to invest so much money into a Porter and LaVine deal, Porter's deal is going to be movable itself in about a year from here. So, on the off chance that that's the route they intend to go down, then he will have resale value. He will be movable. He is young. He does not have a huge degree of upside based on his athletic limitations. Yes, agreed. However, he is a pretty good plug-and-play player. Now, he's not a plug-and-play player on every team. He's not some kind of do-it-all Paul that we would like to think that he is. It does take a fairly unique blend of talents around him, and Chicago have not been, over the course of this last year, a great breeding ground for development due to the turmoil. But what were they going to do with $26 million in cap space exactly? Were they going to trade it for another first-round pick? Well, you've basically just got a first-round pick, a young player worth a damn in Otto Porter. They weren't going to sign anybody. What was a better use? I like the deal.
Could you have taken on money for picks?
you could have done. However, you're going to be far from the only bidder when it comes to the summertime, on account of the fact that there are going to be more teams with cap space money to spend than players were spending it on. Mm. So there's going to be someone out there that gives Ricky Rubio a lot more than he deserves. God bless him, great player, too inconsistent to be reliable. Someone's going to pay someone like him a lot of money, and that's not a market you want to get stuck in, because that is depreciating itself. I suspect up to a point they probably could have leveraged Washington for a little more, on account of the fact that doing this deal helps the Wizards significantly financially both this year and in the future. And they did include Portis, who's a pretty good outgoing player for someone like Porter, who you're essentially salary dumping. But then they weren't the only bidders. Sacramento and Utah were both very firmly in on Porter. So I like the deal as it is, notwithstanding those what-ifs.
Is there any good reason for Dell Demps to go after a bird-in-the-hand trade, or is it must he wait until he can get a reasonable amount of leverage from the Celtics?
I don't think he has to wait until he gets leverage from the Celtics, although it sounds like he fully intends to. That, of course, is difficult to know without knowing the specificity of the offers. What we can know is that the Lakers' offer should not be the best. By that, I mean, with all due respect to Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, whoever else they wish to include, Ivica Zubac, they're all decent players, but they are not Anthony Davis-type players. And there's only a certain amount of volume that you can add that before it starts not making up for the quality. What I mean by that is, if you send, let's say, five good young players for one star, well, that doesn't replace the star. Five good young players alone gets the team to where the Lakers have just been in recent times. They cannot make up for their lack of single desirable trade asset by simply adding volume. The Pelicans have asked them to do their best into the ridiculous number of picks they've asked them to do, but that's still not going to make up for an offer which, let's say, from Denver may start with Jamal Murray. There's a genuine young NBA star, gentlemen. He will be a star in the NBA. He's not far short of it already. So in terms of where this leaves the Pelicans, Davis is done, clearly, and it's not their concern, really, whom he will sign with. So if they want to send him to Boston, if Boston wants to take that risk that he may not re-sign, then yes, the Pelicans will get they'll get their best offer from Boston, and Boston must make that offer, because where else do you ever get a player of this quality? They have targeted Davis for over 3 years now, knowing this day would one day come. The Kyrie thing is unfortunate in that it means they must wait to the summer, but they will absolutely bid in the summer. New Orleans knows that, so I'm okay with them waiting.
Talking about the Otto Porter deal and the NBA trade deadline with Mark Deeks. You can follow him at shamsports.com, at Mark Deeks NBA on Twitter. Were you surprised that the Bulls front office ejected on this year's free agency by acquiring Otto Porter? That's effectively what they've done in getting rid of any opportunity to sign a max deal.
No, because the reputation thereof is not great at the moment. There are going to be somewhere in the low teens, well, that remains to be determined by the end of the day, somewhere in the low teens number of teams that will have a significant amount of cap space, if not quite fully max cap space. And, of course, there will be further machinations able to be made after the season's over on draft night, and even agreed upon at the start of free agency to be done after the moratorium ends. So there's a lot of competition, and who's it for? We're out here now looking at the New York Knicks that have just made this big, bold step to go out and try and get themselves KD and Irving. They may legitimately, by the sounds of it, have a chance. Where are such whispers surrounding Chicago? Mm. It's not a place that players want to come to, because there's not a lot of stability there to be offered right now with an in-season coaching change and whatever else. And they're not in the running, realistically, for these players. If they were, then we put a very different perspective onto Porter's deal. At that point, that becomes an obstruction. But they're not. Let's be fair. They're not. So what's the best player you're going to get? There's not a justification in the world for Otto Porter's contract. He earns a lot more than he gives back to you. He's a good player, a good, fairly young player, but he's not a nearly as $26 million worth player. But that doesn't matter based on circumstance. And the circumstances are that Chicago doesn't realistically have any other use for the money, apart from doing a Chandler Hutchinson and Omer Asik type of deal that they did last year, which doesn't get them any further than this does.
You mentioned the instability here in Chicago, and I was kicking myself for not following up when we last talked, because I had asked you about the next possible basketball mind? All of our NBA experts, national and in this case international, I've been asking, give me a name. If right now Michael Reinsdorf just said, hey, you, come over here and take my basketball operation and here's the checkbook and do whatever you want. Chris Herring said, hire Sam Hinkie. Brian Geltzeiler said, hire David Griffin.
Demanded it.
The demanded, hire David Griffin. That's the guy absolutely for certain. And when I asked you, you demurred and said that you had you were maybe biased a little bit. So I want to follow up. Are there actual people who would get a job who would hire you? Or would you be in play for some kind of executive job somewhere? Is that why you didn't want to give a name?
Me as an individual, absolutely not. Otherwise, that would have happened. When I demurred, it wasn't because I was referring to myself. It hadn't even occurred to me until you said that was the subtext that came across. And that would be an egregious error if that was what I meant. No, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean I'd be biased towards myself. I meant I might be biased towards friends of mine. What I will say in the process of demurring once again is that when you ask for a new, fresh name, and then you cited two people that have formerly been GMs, I don't know if my answer was any better or any worse than those. But they are good candidates, certainly. Hinkie and David Griffin both have standout legacies, and I should choose to hide behind the answers of others.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that you would necessarily be the top guy, but I would imagine you have friends around
that
the league.
That would be an atrocity.
But there are people in your position that do consulting work. There are people where you could do it from your couch. You could do it from wherever you are, no matter where you are. There are guys who say, look, take a look at our cap situation or take a look at some of this, and instead of doing a manifesto for the masses, you can have it proprietary for somebody else.
Well, I was hoping they would. That's why I produced the thing. That's the trauma, isn't it? Not knowing quite how to bridge that gap. But in terms of who out there is worthy of hire, look no further than the Twitter sphere and you'll find many a capable person. They will not have the personal relationships that build up from being within the NBA. This is certainly true. However, I'd like to think we'll be on the days where you just hire the most keen person at your summer camp to an interim position, then working for free in the video department and working their way up. There is some value in that, yes. David Griffin started on that basis, and I speak his praises, certainly. But there's so much knowledge out there that the internet gives us much better access to. So I would hope not to pigeonhole anyone in that way.
Where are you on Chris Dunn now that we have more of a data set to work with?
That was some great demurring, by the way, wasn't it?
Outstanding. Top-notch demurring.
Yeah. It's a gift. You know, when you teach for a living like I do, you learn how to do it. I think more highly of him than I believe many do, because I think if he readjusts his priorities, he could be Marcus Smart. Look how good Marcus Smart has just become. Chris Dunn could be one of the best point guard defenders of the generation, up there with Smart. He hasn't. I appreciate that. He makes some good plays on the ball, but he's not consistently good enough in this area. And his offense remains streaky and spotty, and he's a bit reluctant to shoot. But I still think there's a lot of potential in there. Remember, this is a league, gentlemen, in which we prioritize the switching defense, the player who can defend any position. So guys like Ryan Archie Diakono, who's not got the size to defend on a switch, become vulnerable and limited. But in theory, a point guard as big, strong, and with a defensive nous of Chris Dunn becomes a very good switch option. He could be a key part of a good half-court defense going forwards. Offensively, I agree, it's certainly less spotty, but let's look at that end at least, because we tend to overlook it. I don't know if I'd go as far as to call him a core player, and I appreciate I did do that last year. It hasn't been the greatest year for him, but he's not far short. They also have a potentially very good lineup here. Very good. Okay, it's hard to define, and I'm not saying it's a title-winning core, but Dunn, Levine, Porter, Market, and Carter, the excellent Wendell Carter, Al Horford up front there, it's not a bad five, gentlemen.
You mentioned, just so we've covered the basis of, the worst possible outcome, the Otto Porter contract you mentioned has value if you wanted to move it next season. How much value? Obviously, some of that depends on how he gels with Boylan and the rest of the gang, but how much value, and did you mention that because you see an opportunity later on down the line, given the number he's signed to?
Well, it's not the value I would say comes from deals such as those of all the 2016 overpays that are still extant. So I'm talking contracts like Timothy Mozgov, Chandler Parsons. I'm not saying the Bulls want these contracts. Of course they don't. They want someone like Porter. But if they do make another strategic shift, if Porter doesn't work out, if they decide they do need money elsewhere, if they decide they do have free agency operations elsewhere, they could pass down his massive contract for a slightly smaller but shorter one, They probably wouldn't need to attach assets to do it because Porter is not dead salary. He's a good player, and they have that flexibility open. So right now what they've essentially done is foregone their cap space for an audition. That's what they did last year with Jabari Parker. It didn't work out. But there was no good evidence it was going to work out with Parker, apart from the fact he was a hometown boy. When it comes to Porter, this is a pretty solid NBA player. If we look beyond the money, we'll see that, and we'll see a guy that fits quite well, an off-ball role at a position that the Bulls have struggled with. So, it may not work out. He'll never be a $26 million player, barring some unprecedented outbreak. But he doesn't need to. He's pretty good, and the alternatives weren't.
Do you expect the Bulls will, for lack of a better term, as John Paxson puts it, see what we have in our younger players in an attempt to ensure the highest possible chance at Zion Williamson?
Tactfully put to say see what we have. I think they have to do that. I think they're going to do that. I don't think Robin Lopez will be a Bull by the end of the month, if not the end of the day, because he's going to be accidentally too good. I think they absolutely should do that. They will struggle to out-tank the Suns and the Knicks, but with the lottery odds having changed now, they do have a chance at being in there off of someone like Ja Morant, who may be able to help with the shortcomings of Chris Dunn at the point guard position. So, yes, I think they should absolutely pull the plug on this thing as best they can. How far they're willing to do so, you'll have to ask John Paxson at 5 p.m.
Mark, always appreciate it. Thanks for promoting the stuff and quality demurring throughout.
There'll be more demurring if you want it, gentlemen. I'm an excellent demurrer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.